I'm excited today to be speaking with Kendra Woods of Soulful Success by Design. Kendra is a human design coach, and she is one of the most empowered projectors. No, scratch that. She is the most empowered projector that I have ever had the pleasure of knowing. I'm excited to bring you this episode, especially if you are a projector or if you love a projector, if you have a projector in your life, you really want to tune in for Kendra's insights. This is a great conversation. Welcome to Unjaded. I'm your host, Vicki Dixon. This is a podcast with a human design spin on building the life, the relationships, and the business that you were made for. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Unjaded podcast. Today I'm here with Kendra Woods, and I'm super excited about this. Kendra is the founder of Soulful Success by Design. As an international transformation and human design coach, Kendra empowers women to master their inner leadership skills, fostering success in both business and life with authenticity. Kendra's philosophy centers on transcending conditioned consciousness, enabling women to achieve the business and life they genuinely desire and deserve. She partners with purpose-driven women, guiding them to elevate their ventures and lives by connecting with their hearts instead of relying on constant hustle. Doesn't that sound absolutely amazing? Through human design coaching, online group programs, and personalized coaching, Kendra facilitates transformative experiences that enable women to embrace new realities. With a background in business admin, bachelor's and master's degrees, and over 10 years in the corporate world, Kendra blends practical business knowledge with intuitive wisdom to steer clients toward authentic success on their own terms. Kendra's literary works include The 7-Step Morning Manifestation Guide, Mind Boss Habits, 12 Steps to Getting Out of Your Head and Into Action, and her contribution to the Amazon bestseller, Girl, Get Up and Win. Now, I had no idea that you were a published author. How did we spend so much time together in the last year? And I had no idea. That's really cool.
I know. Thank you. That was a fun project to work on. And I'm really proud of it. Thank you.
I bet you that's a huge accomplishment. Writing even one book is a huge accomplishment.
Yes. Ooh. It was the process for sure. And I'm glad that we had support there to kind of help us move through, you know, the writing and the editing and all that good stuff. So it was great to have the support of all the other people around and the energy of everyone else to kind of keep the project going too. So
very interesting. Very interesting. So I am super excited to have you here on the Unjaded podcast today. It was definitely on my wish list to try to get you here. So I was super excited when you said yes. And you're launching a podcast the same week as me.
Yes. Yes. On the 28th, next Thursday. So yeah.
And how's that going?
Oh, it's going. There's still definitely some pieces. I mean, I will say this, like, I know before this, before we started recording, we were kind of talking about this and I'm like, ah, there's still so much to do, but I do have to give myself some credit. Like there are things that are in the works that I'm not doing them. Like my VA is putting some things together for me, getting the pages together. And I'm doing more of the logistical things like, okay, I've got to actually sit down and start recording some things. Like I have things in place, but it's like, I need to sit down and do my part because she's doing her part. So it's coming along. I honestly have this feeling, and maybe you can appreciate this, like I'm excited, but at the same time, I'm a little anxious or I'm a little nervous. I feel like I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to put my voice out there and everyone's going to hear me. And it just feels different than showing up and doing live video. You know, this feels a little bit different and more, this feels important. It feels important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I would love to unpack with you, and I'm kind of starting in the middle, but that's just kind of how I roll. I'd love to unpack with you how it's different, because I didn't think that your podcast launch would be like that. So let me just start at the beginning and say that Kendra is a projector. And I think that you are one of the most purposeful or on purpose projectors that I know and have ever known. You have such a clear understanding of how your energy works. You know, your lived experience is so valuable. But I just had this vision that your podcast would be completely, perfectly, every T crossed and I dotted way, way before now. And that's not a judgment in any way. It's just like I had you on this pedestal that it was all going to be done. And I was feeling very Manny Jen like crazy in the background, like, oh my gosh. So that was kind of interesting for me to hear.
Yeah, I would love to speak to that because it's interesting to say that, because just in my own experience, I've had so many people that will I want to say project, but that's not in a bad way, right? Like I've been in situations where I'll go to a networking event or I go to a conference and people make the assumption. They're like, oh, you must be the speaker today. Or, oh, are you the one that's the head of this networking event? And I'm like, no, I'm like, that's not me. Or, and I even say this part of my story too, that when I was in corporate and, you know, people perceived me as like, oh, she has all of her stuff together. But I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, I'm like, you had no idea at the time, at that time, I was like internally struggling so much. I knew how I needed to show up and I did that. Right. But then at home, it's like, okay, I had to then do my work of putting myself back together again. You know what I mean? And like, clearing my mind. And, you know, I got into meditation during that time and writing in journals and things like that. So I think that I'm really good at being able to show up and be who it is that I need to be. And I've gotten better on the back end where I can get stuck in that perfection loop, right? Like it has to be perfect. It has to be right. So it's funny that you say that, because for me, that is a challenge that I have to work through that actually, I'll honestly say, kind of makes me move a little bit slower than I would want to, right? Because I'm constantly like, I'll do something and I'm like, oh, okay, wait a minute. Maybe I should say that differently, right? And maybe I want to do that differently. And so for me, it's an everyday journey of just, so even when I do videos, sometimes I'm doing something live and you might see me like laugh a little bit, or maybe I smile because in my head I'm like, oh, that came out wrong. But I'm like, keep going anyway.
Always keep going anyway.
Right. So I think it's interesting that, you know, and I get that a lot. Like you've got it all together. You've got it all figured out. And I'm like, you have no idea. Like I don't have it all figured out. You know what I mean? I think that I'm good when the pressure's on and I need to show up and I've got to do something, I know how to do that. I know how to turn it on, but I do have to work behind the scenes to be able to do that. You know, I don't know if that makes sense. Like it's, yeah, I know how to show up and I know how I need to show up. And then on the back end, I know what to do now to like take care of myself, to take care of my energy, to take care of my mindset, to have the systems and things in place that are going to help support me. I didn't have that before human design. Now I know those things. So it feels a bit smoother on the back end. But yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about when you found human design, or when human design found you. How long have you been in your experiment? How long have you been in your experiment?
So I was invited into human design in 2018. I had a really good friend of mine who's also a manifesting generator. She mentioned human design to me and she was so excited about it. And I was excited for her. And then she brought it up to me again. And I was like, that's great. I'm glad you found this. This is amazing. And then she brought it up a third time. And this time she was like more direct. She's like, you need to go figure out, you need to go do your chart and, you know, see what your type is. And so I went and I did it. And when I got my body graph, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I think I have done this before. And I had in 2017, I had went and, you know, put my birth information in and I got my body graph and it looked like complete Greek to me. So I think I just let it stay in my file folders forever. And then when she brought it back up to me again, I think the timing was just right. I feel like I was invited into it in the sense that she was like, you are going to love this. And I had that external invitation. And so when that happened, I pulled my chart and I was like, well, let me see what it means to be a projector. Let me do some research on this. Started reading about it. Of course, like everyone does, did the Google searches, watched YouTube, did all the things. And then when I did that, and even just learning that I was a projector and what that meant, I'm telling you, I know I cried like almost every other day because I was like, oh my gosh, I understand why I struggled so much in corporate. I understand why I feel like I can't keep up, right? I understand why, you know, I would tend to undervalue myself, for example. Like I just began to put the pieces in place. And then I went a bit deeper and I bought Karen Curry Parker's book called Understanding Human Design. So she kind of walks you through. And I think it was like Thanksgiving of 2018. I spent like my break reading that whole book and I just fell in love and started kind of moving through the experiment on my own, like looking at my own chart. And of course, like, you know, my husband and kids looking at their chart and just really being like, wow, this is amazing. And did that for a while and then decided to get certified as a human design specialist because I wanted to then bring it to my clients.
And yeah. I noticed that you have gate 48 as a big theme in your chart. So when I was looking at your chart, so just for people, we will put it in the show notes, but Kendra has 7 centers undefined and 2 centers defined. Her root center is defined and her spleen is defined in her human design. She has 1 channel, the 3254. So I'm hearing you talk about, you know, pressure and being able to work for a deadline and all of these things. And I'm thinking, well, 3254, there you go. And then you're talking about going deep into human design, like, well, channel 40 or gate 48. Okay. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Do you find that you do that with a lot of things that you just have to get deep in the weeds on it?
You know what? I do. And I think that that is, again, there's 2 sides to that, right? Like, I know that I like to go deep in it. Like we were talking about the podcast, I went deep into, okay, let me research this. Let me look at this. Let me look at that. And that's great because that does help me kind of feel secure and moving forward. But then I have to make sure that I'm not spending too much time over in the, let me make sure I know enough place and actually put, you know, myself out there to share the information. And for a long time, I did that with human design, right? Like I was, you know, I got certified, I think level 1, level 2. And it wasn't until level 3 where I was like, okay, I really need to get out here now, start talking about it. And I was so nervous because I thought, I don't know if I know enough yet. Maybe I don't know enough yet. You know, maybe I need to do the whole 4 levels first. And then, you know, so it's interesting when you understand the energetics of some of like your own personal energetics, you can catch yourself.
Yes. Yeah. And you can always hear it in others, right? So I have the channel, the 4816 channel, and that inadequacy thing comes up so many times, right? And all of our conditioning goes with it too. Me as a Mani Gen, I mean, I have a ton of conditioning around doing things wrong or doing too many things and all of those things. And then you put that inadequacy of the 4816 in there. It's really something else. Ah.
Yes.
So you and I met actually in Karen Curry Parker World. Yes. You were a coach and I was a student in all of the levels in the mastermind and, you know, all of the things that we do with the gate 48, but you were always one of my favorite coaches. I love the questions that you ask and I love how on purpose you are. I know I've already said that, but I really love how on purpose you are because I feel like some of the stories that projectors get are like what you were experiencing in your corporate world. You were wondering, why am I tired all the time? Why can't I keep up to this? What's wrong with me? So how did human design change that for you? How did specifically learning to work with your energy, because this is like a lot of questions, but you're kind of amazing in projector land. So like you did the 75 hard, you run distances, right? I'm not sure if it's marathons, half marathon. Like you do a lot of things. You run a successful business. You have a big family life. And so many times maybe a projector would look at that and go, well, she can't possibly be a projector. So how do you do it?
That is such a great question. Oh my goodness. How do I answer that? So here's what I would say, right? Is what I've come to learn. Well, first, let me answer the first question, right? Like what specifically changed for me when I really began to understand what it meant to be a projector, right? Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, when I recognized, okay, I do not have a defined sacral, which means I am not like, I don't have that sustainable workforce and life force energy. I need to rest, right? I work best in spurts of energy. You know, other parts of my chart, you know, I have a 2 line in there. So I need my time to myself. Like that actually regenerates me and restores me. And so understanding that, what happened is it allowed me to release certain expectations that I had on myself of how I was supposed to show up, right? So if I'm using corporate as an example, I know that I was surrounded by a lot of Mani Gens and generators. And in that world, and I think this is part of the energy of my channel too, is like this drive to succeed. So my energy was naturally in that realm of like, I gotta succeed at this. I need to succeed at this. I need to climb the corporate ladder and do all the things, but I was forcing it, right? I was forcing it. I was pushing it. And once I learned I was a projector and all the things, I recognized that the environment that I was in wasn't actually recognizing my value and what I brought to the table. So what does that lead to? Me feeling bitter, right? Mm-hmm. And then operating out of my conditioning of my, I have an undefined will center. So I'm like, well, I'll show you, right? I can do this. I'm going to prove myself. And so when I put all these pieces together, I was like, oh my gosh, like it was like a weight just lifted off of me. And I gave myself permission to not feel like I needed to keep up with everybody else. Right. So at this point, I mean, I was been an entrepreneur for several years. And so what that looked like for me is I stopped, my way of comparing myself to others lessened because I was like, okay, Kendra, this is not a fair comparison, love. Like you're comparing yourself to this person over here who maybe has been in business for 25 years. Like they're a manifest generator or they're a generator and they're showing up and doing all these things and you're trying to keep up with that. Stop. So I gave myself permission to this kind of lean back. The next thing is I really then also began to prioritize my rest. That became super important. Instead of me having shame around like just being lazy, and I'm doing air quotes for those who can't see, like being lazy, because I mean, I was told that growing up, like you're just so lazy. I'm not lazy. And so just understanding that, oh, wait a minute, that's really not who I am, lightened that a lot of energy got moved just by understanding that, right? Mm-hmm. The third piece, I would say understanding that I'm here to guide individuals. I was like, oh, yes, that's exactly what I want to do. You know, and when I look back on my corporate experience, that's what I excelled best at, right? I was managing over 60 employees. And the part that I loved most was when I would have one-on-one time with them and I was literally coaching them. I was coaching them. I was guiding them. I was helping them move through conflict, right? I was helping them figure out how to work best with their doctors because I worked with doctors. That worked great. I would do trainings about customer service. So I got to teach. I was like in my zone. So those like three things like that in and of itself really just helped me embrace who I am. Now, what that has led to is I've always been the kind of person that, and you know, this could be my roots and our energy, right? I got a lot of, you know, energy there. It's a motor. It's, you know, moving energy. And I recognized why I felt the need to have to move my body, because when I don't move my body, it's like that energy becomes internalized, you know, like that roots and our energy feels like it's just bouncing all around in my body. Mm-hmm. I need to move. And so I found that when I give myself permission to move my body in ways that feel good, because that was another area I deconditioned, I thought I needed to be doing the HIIT workouts every single day and going hard every single day. And I actually burned myself out doing that. And I realized that I need to mix it up, right? I can have a day or two where I go hard and long run long distances, and there are days when I just need to do some yoga and go for a walk. And that is, and so I've learned to listen to my body more, you know? Yeah. So, and the last thing I'll say to this, and I'll wrap this up here, is it's also become important for me to get really good at asking for and receiving help.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's juicy.
That is a big one. My husband is a generator. And so before I found human design, I would find myself trying to compete with his energy, right? It's a Saturday and he's relaxing by, you know, tinkering on something in the garage. And I'm like, well, I need to be up doing something too. I need to be folding clothes. I need to be doing something. And now I just sit back and I'm like, that's relaxing to him, and me laying on the sofa reading a book is relaxing to me. So understanding that I've given myself permission to just lean way back, and I will ask him to do things for me. Can you do this? Can you do that? Right? How can I delegate? What can I delegate? And that has helped me as a projector to honor my energy and to also honor his energy, because he loves it.
Yeah. Right? He needs it.
He wants to do that. And he needs that. Right. So that's just been, you know, a game changer, and just being unapologetic about the fact that I need to rest.
I love that.
Period.
I love that. So I'm wondering what kind of things, if you were to outsource things in your home and in your business, what kinds of things would you outsource that would really free up that space for you as a projector?
For me, from the home, from speaking of the home space, it's delegating the house cleaning. That has been something. And again, that was a hard one for me because, well, I work from home. Like I should, like Kendra, you work from the house. Like certainly you can clean your own home, right?
Yeah.
But I realized like, nope, that's not the best use of my energy. Can I do it? I could. But then honestly, if I spend 4 hours cleaning, I'm done for the day. I'm done.
Yeah.
Don't ask
and
me to do
side
anything
note,
else.
Sorry, mm-hmm. side note, I think that every type should be doing that. I don't think that's a projector thing.
Amen.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. I would agree.
Yeah.
But you know, but maybe some people enjoy that. I don't particularly enjoy that. You know, mm-hmm. I can do it, but I'm just like, nah. So that's one thing. And then something that I've done in the past, I don't do it so much anymore because my husband is now home full time. He was overseas for 5 years. And so it was just me.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Here at home. And so one of the things that I did was I would outsource like I would have them deliver food.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would have meals, you know, delivered. And that worked great for me. I mean, I still had to do some things, but I didn't have to worry about going to the store or putting the ingredients together. It was all packaged together. It was good to go. So that's really good. In my business, like having a virtual assistant, like that was honestly one of the first things that I did in my business is having someone that I can delegate things to and say, can you do this? Can you do that? Having systems in place in my business, like when it comes to my time, you know, if someone's like, you know, I meet somebody and they want to connect with me instead of just saying, oh yeah, we can meet on whatever day. Like, no, I pick specific days. These are the days that I will have these kinds of conversations. And this is for how long?
Yes.
So getting really clear. And again, I think that's great for everyone to do that. Right. But I think especially like when you're a projector, it's like really being unapologetic about where you are allowing your energy to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And really honoring your energy,
mm-hmm.
you know? So there's that. So yeah. So if anyone, and I want to say this real quick, because I gave myself a hard time because I've always liked when people do things for me. I've always loved it.
Interesting.
And
love language, and acts of service.
Well, my love language is words of affirmation, but okay. I think acts of service is like maybe two, like the second one down, but I want people, if I can find someone do something for me, I will please do it.
Yeah.
And I used to give myself a hard, I used to judge myself for that, right? Like, who do you think you are, right? Like, who do you think you are to want someone to do all this for you? Like, what, I'm like you the queen or something? And now I'm like, yes.
Yes, frankly, yes.
So yes, I have no problem now. Someone's like, hey, like, I'll take care of that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Right?
I will give my appreciation. I will send a gift. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Pay the money and get it done. I know with a lot of my projector clients, they have a hard time with the food thing. And I think that's something that's really freeing, especially for women. Traditionally, we are the people who do the groceries and the food and all of that stuff. I mean, if you've got a man that does that for you, I want to live in your house, but I don't. And I find with my projector clients, when I'm working with them, especially we talk about the food delivery thing. And I think that can be a huge freeing up of time and freeing up of energy, because yeah, it's a lot more than just figuring out, you know, 30 minutes to make a meal. It's a lot more that goes into that, but there's sometimes so much resistance and, like you say, conditioning around the help that we're getting. But if you're an entrepreneur, you know, working from home, it doesn't mean that you have to become the maid and the bottle washer and all of those things, but that is what happens, right?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And the only thing that, you know, what I definitely attribute that to, and everyone like grows up differently, but I know growing up, it was like, you know, and that was a different generation than I get mm-hmm. that, but it was a certain pride about like a woman, like cleaning her home and making meals, you know, for her family and doing the laundry and having everything. So I think I kind of grew up like in the back of my mind with that expectation. That's like, okay, well, that's what you become a wife. Like that's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've kind of grown out of that now. I'm like, yeah, no, that's not gonna, that doesn't work for me. And so it did. I'm telling you, it took a while. I would have people always say to me, like, even with my daughter, because my other two children are out of the home. But so when he was overseas, it was me and my daughter. And they would say to me all the time, hey, if you need us to come get, you know, your daughter and she can hang out with us while you have some time to yourself, like, please let us know. I mean, all the time. And it took me years before I would pick up the phone and say, you know what, can I take you up on that? Can I drop her off like for a couple of hours, or can she spend the night with you so I can just like have a night to myself? And I just had to get over, like, because there is, I think what was coming up is if I'm asking for help, then what I'm saying is that I can't handle it.
Yeah.
And I really had to learn that that's not true. I'm not saying that I can't handle it. I'm choosing to make a decision that is actually supportive of me, that fills me up so that I can be a better woman and mother to my daughter, which is the ultimate thing that's really most important to me, is being a really good mother to her. So I had to like work through that and let that go. Like, if someone thinks that I can't handle it because I'm asking for this help, then that's not for me to take on. Mm-hmm. Then two, what stories do I need to shift and change around if I'm believing that about myself?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know we're spending a lot of time on this, but I feel like this is a really sticky place for a lot of the women that I serve, and probably the women that you serve too. And even though we work with entrepreneurs, they come up against this over and over and over again. So I think it's a good conversation to have. So I really appreciate your perspective on it. And I would like to switch gears a little bit. And there's so many like drops of gold that you're pieces of gold that you're dropping, you know, that I'm like, oh, I got to remember to go back to that. I should be taking notes. Invitations. So you mentioned that with Human Design, with the, you know, the second time it was introduced to you, that someone invited you in. And we know that as projector, your strategy is to wait to be invited. And we talk about how there can be energetic invitations, how you can live in inviting energy, how you recognize your gifts, all of those things. What do energetic invitations actually feel like as a projector? Because I can tell you all day long what my sacral feels like when it's lit up, but I can't tell you what that feels like, lived experience.
So this is, I don't know if I could put words to this, because it is a feeling. When I'm with somebody, for example, and let's, for example, I'm with, you know, a colleague or a friend or whatnot, and they're talking to me, and maybe they're talking about some of the challenges that they're having, or, you know, this is happening, that is happening. I can really sense, like, if a person, for example, is open to me sharing my thoughts with them, for example, right? Or I can tell when someone is, I'll use a live example. So I met with a woman last week. I met her at a networking event, and we were talking over coffee about our separate businesses. And she knows about Human Design, so she was excited about that. And we just kept talking and talking, and she kept talking about like how she's like, oh, I would love to figure out how I could integrate this in with my clients. I would love to, like, I think it would work great. Da, 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 da. Like, she just kept saying all these things about how, like, she wanted to figure out how to integrate this into her business. And so for me, I'm like, she's totally open right now. She's energetically inviting me to like step in and say, well, you know, I have some ideas about that.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And so it's a language, listening to what people are saying. And I think as projectors, we're really good at this. We can tell when someone is physically open to it, like they're inviting us in, right? We can tell through their language, like, oh, okay, wait, this may be, and I think it maybe just comes natural to a projector. I don't know. For me, it feels quite natural when someone's speaking and I'm like, I'm being invited in here, right? Let me put this out there. And now what I do is I don't just jump there. I will say, this sounds so exciting. And I have so many thoughts about this. Like, is it okay? Like, I'd love to share with you what I'm thinking or what I think could potentially happen. Are you open to that? And of course, they're like, yeah, like, what is it? And so we go further with it. So for me, that's what, you know, energetically, I don't know if that's a great explanation, but that's what it's like. You know, you just know that someone's open to it. And when they're not open to it, what that feels like for me is there's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of, yeah, but, or, I don't know. Like, there's just that energy of just uncertainty, like, I'm not sure. The kind of like going in circles kind of thing. And so it's like, okay, just time to lean back and let them figure it out.
Wait till you're ready.
Wait till you're ready.
You'll exactly. be back. Right. So were you always in tune to these energetic invitations, do you think? Or do you think this is more since you became aware of your design?
I think I've always been aware, but I think now I am, before human design, I felt like it was more of an unconscious thing, right? I would just kind of, it would just happen. Now that I'm conscious of it, I'm more purposeful with how I approach those situations. I'm more purposeful about what I'm saying, right? I'm more purposeful about giving advice to someone. Like if a family member calls me in the past, they'd be like, well, you know what, this happened, blah, 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 blah. And I would say, well, why don't you do this? And you should be doing this, and you might want to do this. And then it's just whole like thing, right? And then I'm feeling weird because I'm like, oh my gosh, I told you this. Why have you not done it yet? whereas now, if that were to happen, it's like, okay, let me, are they asking for my help here? Am I being asked? Or do I feel like there's an opening here? Let me test it and see. Right. Okay. So then it's like, if they say yes, great. If they're like, no, I don't know. I kind of need to sit with this some more and kind of figure it out. Oh, great. Wonderful. Take your time to sit with it. I'm here. If you need me, just let me know.
And does that ever get old, being there when people need you?
Yes, it can.
That wasn't a very projector question. I'm sorry. So for our listeners, we want to do open-ended questions. Sorry, that was totally a sacral. I was asking you to respond. I'm sorry.
it can though, because, and I think it can, and then I have to feel like I need to take responsibility for that too and set up the conversation so that it supports me and the other person, right? So if I have a friend that's constantly dragging on about the same thing and I'm saying, oh, we'll do this, oh, and try this, and oh, and try this, and it still just keeps happening, then it becomes okay, we need to have a conversation. Like, do you like when I give you advice? Are you trying the things that I'm sharing with you? Or are you just needing me to be here to just listen? Right. And if you're wanting me to be here to just listen, then we need to talk about that, because I'm available to listen. But then if you're not, and I'm the kind of person that, and this is just me personally, I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but if someone's talking about something over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and they're not doing anything to change it, I'm like, okay, wait, stop. Let's take some action here, or let's not talk about it. And that is something that I've had to grow into. Really had to grow into that, because it feels a little scary to tell somebody like, look, if you're not willing to do anything about this, I'm not available to keep listening, because it's energetically draining.
Mm-hmm. And again, I feel like that's for any human design type, like that, definitely as a projector, you have that guiding energy and people come to you for guidance, but I feel like that's a good lesson for all of us. Mm-hmm. If somebody's banging on about mm-hmm. something and not doing anything to change it, might be time for a different conversation.
Yes, absolutely. And I will say that, I don't know if this is a thing, but it feels like that guiding energy that projectors hold, it immediately, it's always there, but it's like, it gets really activated when someone comes forth with like, well, this is what's happening, da, 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 da. Like, and you're inside, you're just bubbling up with, oh my goodness, well, have you thought of this? And oh, and here's what I see. Like, that is happening internally. You know what I mean? So if it doesn't get to come out, it's like, okay, listen, if you're not open to taking my guidance or my support, and we've talked about this now for the upteenth time, I cannot.
Yeah.
Because there's things going on in here that want to be processed, and but it has nowhere to go.
That's so interesting. So interesting. And so I think you just put it into words. What it feels like.
I think I
did. Yeah. So yes. That's good information for projectors, because that's something that I always get asked is like, what is the invitation going to feel like in my body? And I'm like, well, you know, we go through the words and things and what it can look like in life, but the lived experience is so nice to talk to someone who really understands and feels that. What about recognition? Because I feel like when you say recognition with a client or someone who's new to human design, whether you're talking about an undefined throat or a projector, manifestor, reflector, it feels almost like a weakness. Like they feel like it's a weakness in them that they would need to be recognized. I'm like, no, it's not like that. How does that feel for you? How does recognition actually feel? Or are there ways that you seek that out in healthy ways? Set up your life for it, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. Recognition, what does it feel like to me? Recognition to me feels like it feels affirming. It feels affirming. And so what I mean is, and here's the thing, I'm going to talk energetics for a minute, because I get a lot of people that come into my email and they're like, you know, in my inbox, and they're like maybe pitching me to, you know, I'd love to have you on someone. I'd love to have you hear that. And I went to your website and I love what you're, and I can tell when someone is truly recognizing, even if they've just met me, I can tell when they are recognizing the work that I do by how they say it, by how they really go into depth with how they resonate with it, right? Versus the person that literally just copy and pastes my bio or something, or pulls a sentence from my website and says, I love that you are helping women by blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, that was so shallow. Like, I don't like, do you really, are you really recognizing what it is that I do? So there's a different feel there. And I notice it when it comes through. I'm like, yeah, no, this is not, it's not going to work. Versus a person who is truly like, they can just share like how it resonates with them. They can tell me like, oh, this part of your story I resonate with because of blah, 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 right? Or I love that you're doing human design and, you know, the way that you teach it because of this, right? Like their recognition to me feels like the person knows. Like they know how to truly recognize you. They know your work, even if it's just, even if they've just come across your website a day or two ago, they get it. Right.
And what about people in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that work in a relationship? You know, I remember being in the mastermind and I remember a participant saying about her husband, she's married to a generator as well. And she said, you know, if he would just ask me once in a while, if he would just recognize that I don't have to do something with him just because we're, so do you set people up in your life to recognize you? Do they understand?
So that is a really great question, because what I have come to learn is I have to let, like, speaking of husbands, right? I have to let my husband know. I'm like, this is what I need, right? I need you. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm not being the best mom, or that, you know, we all go through this. Like, you just feel like you're not being a good mom. You're like, am I messing up my kid? Like what am I doing? Right.
Yeah.
And so I'll say, I'm like, I need you sometimes to just recognize and see what it is that I'm doing. Right. And then let me know that. And do it organically, right? Like, don't just like every day be like, oh, I recognize this. And you're right. No, like, when you get that hit to go, you know what, I see that she's really great with our daughter with this, or she's really great with that. Like, please tell me, I need to know this. And so that is that. So asking for what you need. Right. And for example, like when we're together as a family, I've got, so when all of us are together, there's three projectors, a manifesting, I'm sorry. Yes. Me, my daughter, my son are projectors. Other daughter's a manifesting generator. My husband's a generator. And so when I'm just thinking of me, I'm like, MG energy is a lot for me, right? Especially when it's with another, a generator. And so when we're together, like we've been on family vacations at parks, and I'll go, you know what? You guys go and get ice cream. I need to go and just sit down and just be to myself. I did that just this weekend. We took my daughter out for her birthday, and we went to Six Flags. And I needed to step away, my husband's like, are you okay? Like, I'm like, nope, I just need to step away. I need to go for a walk. I need to clear my head a little bit. I'll be right back. Right. And so letting my family know, like, this is what I need. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean anything about you. Doesn't mean I love you. I just need it so that I can feel like I'm grounded and centered. So I think asking for what you need and letting your family members know, or even if it's friendships, like letting them know, like, this is, I just need this for myself because it supports me. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Being able to communicate that is vital.
And I feel like it's good practice for all of us to be recognizing each other's gifts whenever we can anyway, again, regardless of type. I know it is a projector thing, a projector strategy, but it's just such a beautiful way to live if we can recognize each other's gifts.
Yes. Yeah. And pointing that out in people. And I think that's, I mean, I love that. And I think that's why I love human design so much, right? Because you can, like, I've learned how to appreciate, you know, the very defined generator that I have as a husband. I've learned to appreciate his defined head and ajna and throat and G center and sacral and root and like, a lot of definition, but I've learned how to appreciate that. And I've learned how to not like have that power struggle. Cause I'm like, no, I don't need to, like, that's how his energy works. I get the mechanics of it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. Like, my daughter, the youngest, she's a projector and she's a 2-4. So like, when she gets home from school, I'm like, hey, if you need to go in your room and decompress and just lay in your bed for a while, that's cool. Go do that. And then we kind of get into, you know, well, what do we have for homework? How do we need to prepare for tomorrow? That kind of thing. And helping my husband understand that too, right? Like, because he and I both have defined root centers. So in that way, we do share that we've got that, like, you know, I can get in there and like do the thing, you know, when my root center is on. My daughter has an undefined root. And she's like, the more you press her, the slower she moves. So it's like, those energy dynamics is so important, and recognizing that in one another and helping each other see that what we think is a weakness is not a weakness. It's your strength. Mm-hmm. Right. And how do you work with that? So yes, that recognition piece. And I know I'm just like talking on and on, my goodness.
Okay.
But no matter what your type is, I think there are, like, if you're a generator or a manifesting generator, if there are things about your energy that are amazing, like, it's good to offer that recognition to the other person too, right? Like, I love how you can just start something and finish it. That's amazing. Cause I don't have that. I love how you can start it and you're done with it. Like, it takes me a minute to get to the finish line.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Right. So yeah,
I can relate. And the thing I love about human design too, when you're talking about your family, you know, I'm not sure your age and your husband's age, but I think we're kind of in the same ish area. And, you know, we were raised where we wouldn't have been able to come home from school and just go to our room and just be, you know, because there were things that had to be done and all of those things. And it's so beautiful that now you can say, and, you know, we're doing it with our grandchildren, my husband and I, with our grandchildren. We had a conversation. They're both emotionally defined. Mm-hmm. One of them has 3 emotional waves. He is deep, deep, deep. But it's just a lot sometimes. And my husband is open. So I have a husband and a daughter who are open emotionally, and the rest of us are all defined. And so sometimes for him, but it's a lot sometimes for him to process all of the emotions. You know, if I'm waving and the 2 kids are waving and it's like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? So it's nice to be able to have those conversations and to be able to say, you know, this is how the energy is working. And you can take time away. You can be in your own aura for a little bit. And that's all you really need sometimes to recharge, is just to kind of, but to raise these children without being conditioned to be something they're not, like, it just makes my soul sing.
Yes. I am so with you on that. And I am so grateful and thankful that I found this, that found human design, because that reason, right? Yeah. I get it now. Like, I can now, the way that I parent my daughter is, I mean, I was already, you know, doing it kind of my way anyways, but now it's even more, you know, intentional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I absolutely love that. I can look at her and I'm like, I can see the dynamics when we're all 3 together. I see the energy dynamics playing out. Right. And I can speak to that when it's just me and her, I see it play out and I know how to then manage that. Right. And it's wonderful, and helping her kind of know about herself as well. Mm-hmm. You know, she's she's pretty open. She's got the 48-16 and one more because her Ajna is connected to her. I can't remember, but anyways, she's got Ajna, throat, spleen center, right? And so just helping her like understand like her energy and helping her navigate like, well, you know, she's so excited about things and she wants to tell people things and she wants to show them all this and they don't receive it well. And she's like, but I don't know why they don't listen to me or what, you know, so I can help her like understand that.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful that we can, you know, do that, you know, for our children and help them understand themselves and know that nothing's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's just, you know, a different way that we can approach this situation or this thing. So yeah, I think it's amazing.
It is so amazing. So amazing. So are you okay if I ask you three more questions?
Yeah.
All right. Number one, I have to ask about gate 21 because I was looking at themes in your chart and it shows up 4 times in your chart and it's your conscious son. I have to know, how does that play out in your life?
Oh my gosh, Vicky. I knew you were going to, when I put you my
easy
chart,
question.
Like, pull that out. Yes. You know, to be quite honest with you, like, I feel like I'm still, and maybe, I mean, this is a lifelong journey, right? I can look at my chart over and over again and contemplate the different gates over and over again. And I'll always get like new insights and new feelings. Yeah. But for me, that gate 21, gosh, I'm in the thick of it right now, like learning how to, because it is a very, for me, like this controlling, I want to control. I need like this tight grip on like all the things. And add on top of that, you know, maybe some conditioning around feeling like, you know, if I control it, then I'm safe. Right. Right.
Maybe.
Maybe. But it's a very controlling, it feels like it's hard for me to let go of control is what I'll say.
Okay.
Right. So for me, my journey has been all about like, how can I just, you know, how can I trust source more? Like, you know, like my spiritual journey has been all about, how can I relax into this journey without feeling like I need to control it, right? How can I let universe source like do its thing without me getting in the way? You know, most recently it has showed up in my relationship where I realized that like when it comes to money, I like to control the money, meaning I really love to sit down and look at where is it going, right? Where is it going and how is it going? And so recently, like I have this whole like software that I put together and I'm telling my husband about it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm categorizing all the expenses and I'm putting this here and there. And I'm like, you need to let me know like where that, like, I just, and it really dawned on me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, this is my gate 21.
There I go again.
Wanting to control the resources, but I'm doing it in a way that feels more aligned versus controlling, right? It's more of a managing. So for on one end, it feels very controlling. I'll say the shadow aspect. I need to control this. I got to control this. On the other end where it feels more lighter, it's more of, no, let me manage this. I don't need to control anything. It's just about managing what shows up. And so when I can remind myself to be in that energy of, I know how to manage this. I know how to move through this. I don't feel like I have to control every little thing because of fear of gate 48, not knowing that I could handle it. No, I can handle it. And I know how to manage it. I will figure it out. Right. Because I am resourceful. Yes. I got this. Yes. Yes. And so that's, you know, that's what it feels like. And I feel like too, if you looked at those gates, like, I think the line expression is 6 for all of them. So this has definitely been like an evolution and a growth like over time. And so I spend a lot of time looking back in my, you know, younger years of like, oh man, I was really trying to control that. Like in relationships, for example, like I wanted it to go a certain way. Like it's going to happen. I'm going to control it and make it happen. And so noticing and seeing myself doing that in the past and how I've matured and letting things play out and then managing me, manage my expectations and what's happening around me in a way that feels good.
Mm-hmm. And your whole, I mean, so six, the role model. So you're stepping into that role model energy in this. And I love that too about human design. It is a constant exploration. It's a constant call to go deeper. You know, people think that because you are a human design coach or mentor or whatever it is that we call ourselves, they think that we've got it all figured out for ourselves, but there's always another layer. Every time you heal something or decondition something, something else comes up for you. So it's yes. really an interesting exploration. I was just so curious when I saw that. I was like, whoa, this is really interesting for her. This gate 21 yeah. four times. Yeah. So yeah. second last question. I would love to know, what are three things that you think either are misconceptions about projectors or are things that projectors get wrong, even though I don't love that languaging, but like conditioned projectors who have no idea about human design, what do you see happening that you'd love to just like fix if you could?
So what I would say first, it's around our strategy of waiting for the invitation. Mm-hmm. And I speak to this a lot because that word waiting, I feel like in the very beginning, it gets in the way.
Yeah.
Because number one, you learn you're a projector, you learn that, oh, I'm not here to work and like, you know, not work in the traditional sense, I should say. And, you know, I need to rest. And then it becomes too passive where you're just like, I'm just waiting.
Yes.
It's waiting. It's going to show up. It's going to show up. And so I speak to this a lot because I'm like, waiting for the invitation is not a passive thing, right? While you're waiting, quote unquote, waiting for the invitation, like there's still things that you get to show up for, right? Studying and learning. And if you're an entrepreneur, showing up and talking about what you do with enthusiasm, writing a blog, doing a podcast, whatever, like putting yourself out there. I'm like, if we want the invitation, we do have to make ourselves seen, right? Mm-hmm. Like put ourselves out mm-hmm. there in that way. So that's one thing. The other thing, and I think this gets into the nuance, I think, of human design, where we learn, you know, like, I don't know, like this is a little tricky because you learn in human design, like projectors can only work 3 to 4 hours or 3 to 6 hours or 3 to 5 hours. And that gets me because I think it really does depend on the configuration of the projector.
Yes. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Yes. Like,
so... And it depends on your energy, like how it ebbs and flows. I mean, I have days where I'm just like, yes, like energy is on, everything is there. And I'm just like, boom, 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 boom. And then the next day I'm like, all right, I need to take a little bit of a slower day today. Mm-hmm. Right. And maybe today is a 3 hour work day, right? Where yesterday was a, I don't know, an 8 hour work day, you know? So it's understanding like what your energy is like too. Like, I know that I have a motor. So it's like, yeah, I've got a little bit more of that little, you know, to move through this. And so that's probably, that's the second thing is finding out what works for you. Right. And not letting that limit you. Because I think too, we can hear that. Cause I think, yeah, you could build a business and not have to work 8 hours every day. You can work 4 hours a day, 3 hours a day, and you can build a business, but it's being really intentional with your energy, being clear on what you're doing and taking like, you know, specific intentional action. Let's see, what else? Those are the two big ones, I feel. Another myth. Okay, here's the last one that I'll say is this. And this has to do with comparison, I think. You learn you're a projector, you learn that you don't have that, you have an undefined sacral, and you go, oh, this is what the not self mind thinks. I just can't keep there. Okay, well, that just proves it. I cannot keep up with the rest of these entrepreneurs out there doing this thing, right? There's no way. I cannot sustain it. And the fact of the matter is, it's like that's not entirely true.
Yeah.
Again, it's about how you go about it as a projector, right? Because, and I loved, and I'll tell you, I watched the dynamics in my household, right? Because, you know, my husband's, like I said, is a generator. I'm a projector. And it's funny because I can watch him do something like fold clothes, for example, or, you know, cleaning out the refrigerator or whatnot, or doing whatever. And I'll look and I'm like, oh my goodness, I have, you know, spent an hour or two creating content. I've gotten things scheduled for my, you know, for my daughter's appointments. You know, like I've done all these things and he's still in the refrigerator. And so But I think, and it's not about like competing, but at the same time, it's like, I just was really strategic about how I did these things, right? Whereas for him, he's just like all in the process of just like, you know, doing this and that. And then well, I'm gonna go over and look at this and then like come back to it, you know? And so I think that as a projector, like our aura is focused and absorbing. And I take that quite literally. When I am in something, I am focused on it and bam, done. As a generator, you're more, you know, open and enveloping. So he's like taking in all the, he's like cleaning the refrigerator and he's like over here talking to the dog. And then he's like over here doing this. And it takes a little bit longer to get things done, right? And so it's just a myth that as projectors, we can't, like, we can. It's just the way that we go about it. It looks different. That's all. So,
I love that so much. Love that so much. Because that's the thing that drives me crazy with human design in general is that people use it as an excuse for bad behavior. You know, they hear that they're whatever type, like Manny Gen. Oh, I'm just scattered all the time because I'm a Manny Gen. No, you're not. That's not what you're supposed to be here for, you know, or projector, you know, I'm tired all the time. I can't build. Yeah, you get it. So yes, I love those answers. So one more question is one tip that you would give for generators who have a projector in their life, because there's a lot of households where there's one projector and a lot of generators. We actually have, so I have two grandbabies due. One is November 3rd and one is December 5th. And the December 5th baby could be anything. Reflector is even on the table. So I'm like, and we are all Manny Gens, but we have one generator with an undefined throat. Four of them are 3420 Manny Gens right now. So I'm like,
wow.
Oh my gosh, this child, what if we get a projector or reflector? Like, we have to be on our toes with this. So I need one tip if we have another energy type in our house.
That 3420 gets us projectors. My oldest daughter, she's a Manny Gen 3420, and it is intense. Okay. Oh my gosh.
You can say more than one if there's more than one.
Okay. So all right. So I would say, like, first of all, is okay, if you're a generator and you've got a projector in your life, like, number one, invite them to do things. Invite them to do things. And here's what I mean by that. My husband's a generator, my daughter's a projector. And he'll say to me, well, you know, I want to do this with her and I want to do that with her, but, you know, like, she hasn't really came and asked me if, and I'm like, that's not how this works. I'm like, I said, try this. I'm like, try inviting her to go do that with you, or try, you know, I'm like, she doesn't know it, but she is kind of like waiting for that invitation from you. Right. So make it easy for her. Right. So that's one thing. The second thing is, you know, really give projectors, like, make it okay for them to rest. And again, if you're a generator and you're up moving around and you're like doing all the things, and maybe your projector child or spouse or whatever, they're just chilling. Don't look at that and go, oh, I'm doing all the things. And how are you just like sitting there doing nothing? That's not what's happening. Right. Again, it's just a different energy dynamic. So don't make them feel bad about that. Like, I would actually like recognize them. Good for you for taking some much needed rest. I can tell you needed it. Good for you for doing that. The third thing I would say, and I feel like this is for children, right? Again, I mean, I have kids, so, and two projectors, is helping your projector children or even your spouse or whatnot see themselves. And what I mean by that is point out to them, you know, like, wow, like, I really noticed that, like, my daughter, for example, is great. She'll go in my closet and she'll say, Mom, you should wear this outfit. And she puts it together. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, that, I'm like, I want to put that together. That's so cool. And I will make it a point to say, you realize you've done this for me a few times now, and you're really great at this. Don't know if you realize that or not, but that really comes natural to you. Leave it alone. Right. But just little things like that to help them see themselves, because she just does it because it's fun. But I also think it's important when someone recognize, or when someone can point out to you what comes natural to you, and point out to you that, hey, that is a gift. That goes a long way.
As a 2-4 as well. I mean, as the two, she's got that thing where we don't know what it is that we do. And it's so frustrating. You know, if you go through 50 years of it, you have no clue what you're good at unless people pull it out of you. And I do find that with my projector clients too, that so many times they're like, I don't know how to recognize myself, but I think they've never been recognized along the way. You know, they've lived 30, 40, 50 years not being recognized along the way. So again, we get to change it for the kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There was one other thing that I wanted to say, and it totally did my mind. What was it? Come back to me. So we were talking about, okay, here it is. I knew it would come back. The last thing is, you know, ask your projectors like what they think. What do you think about this? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this? I cannot tell you how much I love that. And it's, and I don't know how I can put this in words. Like, I think that sometimes we can learn that as projectors, we can learn that if we just give our advice, sometimes it gets cut off, or sometimes it gets, you know, defensiveness comes with it. Then we just kind of learn to just shut up. We're like, I'm not going to say anything. Mm-hmm. Right. And so then we're conditioned to just like, I'm not going to say nothing. And then, you know, someone says, well, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you say? And so ask them, ask, well, what do you think about this? Right. I'd love to know if you have thoughts on this. And again, that's one way too, that I will ask for what I need. I will tell my husband like, hey, every once in a while, I would love it if you would ask me what I think about this or what I think about something. And I'm telling you, if you have someone in your life who truly really who cares about you, they will do this. Mm-hmm. And he will, he'll be going through something and he's telling me what he's going through and he's, and I'm listening. And then he'll say, like, so what do you think? Like, do you mm-hmm. like, do you see it that way? Or do you have a different idea about this? And I'm like, yes, right. And so, you know, and we had this example just recently. He was working on his paper for school. And I mean, I kept hearing him talk about this paper over and over and over and over again. And he's stressing about it, right? He's a 1-3, by the way. He's stressing about it. And I look at him and he's like, there's something you want to say. I'm like, there is. I'm like, I think you're making this too hard. You're making it too hard. You're
not doing, a 1-3.
You don't need, right. You don't need to do this much research just yet. Just do this. Yeah. And Vicky, he finished his outline in like 20 minutes after that, mm-hmm. because he was open to like receiving like what I could see that he couldn't see. So just asking your projectors what they, mm-hmm. what they see and what they think is good.
Because projectors always have so much wisdom. And I don't say that, you know, sometimes people hear that and they think it's, not condescending, but some, you know, they think that I'm like beefing them up for some reason, and it's not genuine, but like, it really is true. Like, so much wisdom in the projector. It's crazy how much. That's your energetic potential, right? Is holding the energetic potential of the planet. It's a big job and you have a lot of wisdom. So you should be being asked. That's what you're here for, is to guide the rest of us, right? To guide the crazy generators and manigens to some sort of order.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and it's not an ego-based thing, right? Like, it's just, not it is all. What it is. It's like, there's wisdom there. Like, I see it in my 12-year-old. I'm like, how did you know that? Like,
they just know things. Yes, yes. So is there anything that you would like to add before we close out today?
Oh my goodness. I don't think so. Well, I would say this, if you are a projector and you're listening to this, I would say to you to be patient with yourself as you are learning how to properly kind of be with your energy and your aura and how to work with it. Be patient with yourself, because we live in a world that's generator dominated, right? Like, it's, mm-hmm. there's, I mean, 70% of the population is generators. So there's, you know, a lot of conditioning that you probably have picked up. And so be patient with yourself. I've been on this journey for 4 years now, and I just realized why there's so much conditioning in my will center. I grew up with two parents who have defined wills, a manigen and a generator. And I just hit me the other day. Oh my gosh, right? And this is 4 years later, Vicky. So it's like, be patient with yourself as you're learning all the different, you know, aspects of your energy and how it works.
Yes, 100%, 100%. Well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. I'm so excited when you were interested in being a guest on the podcast. So thank you very much for being here. And I'll be linking in the show notes information so that you can get in touch with Kendra if you want to get in touch with her. She's very active on social media. You'll see her on both Instagram and Facebook. It's Kendra Woods. We'll put her website in the show notes. I would love to put your clean chart, clean human design chart, in the show notes as well, so that people can take a look if you're okay with that. Fun. Okay. And also in the show notes will be a link to run your human design chart on my website at vickidixon.com, and some information for readings and all of that good stuff if you'd like to. So thank you again for being here, Kendra.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.